And our lesson from the Old Testament is from the book of Jeremiah. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went far from me? They went after worthless things and became worthless themselves. Did they not say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives? I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruit and its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord, those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that did not profit. Therefore, once more I accuse you, says the Lord, and I accuse your children's children. Cross to the coast of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there ever has been such a thing. Has a nation ever changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves. Cracked cisterns that hold no water. Our gospel lesson is from chapter 14 of the Gospel of Luke, reading verse 1 and then continuing with verse 7. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid in the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I will move this lectern prior to communion, but I knew pretty quickly last time I was here we were not in the sanctuary, and I had forgotten how tall the pulpit is, and I thought either I'm going to get a milk crate to stand on or I'm going to have to be down here on the floor with you.
Well, there's a crate
back there. I may get more animated than the crate would allow. Hopefully. You know, we're hoping for that. Okay, Jesus was always doing the wrong thing at a dinner party. Everybody knew that he was a good teacher. He was articulate. He was called in the Bible a son of wisdom. People thought he would be good for conversation, so they wanted him at the party, but he lacked the basic party etiquette that people expected of someone that you invite over for dinner. One time a woman came in uninvited and cried all over his feet, and Jesus just let it go on. And she was a straight woman, and the host was offended. Another occasion he got up from dinner. It was the Sabbath, and he healed a man with dropsy, and the onlookers were scandalized. You see, in ancient Roman Palestine, where he was doing ministry, a dinner party was a place of divisions, distinctions between people, and their social status were underscored by where you got to seat to sit at dinner, if you got to sit at all, or if you were invited at all. And there were clear higher and lower status places of honor at the party. Holy men in that time would always be given an honored seat. It was an honor to the host to have a religious teacher in attendance. And as the fame of Jesus grew, he got those invitations. People assumed when he came that he would behave pretty much the way a dinner guest is supposed to behave and obey the rules of etiquette that these parties were there to underscore. But Jesus seems always to have forgotten that. Sinners and tax bums and prostitutes would show up, and he would embrace them. He drank wine with fishermen and shepherds, and people murmured about him and called him a wine bibber. And so in our scripture today, it was that he was going to dinner with a prominent Pharisee, and it says they were watching him. Now that word that Luke uses to tell the story, paratero, comes right out of espionage. They were doing surveillance on Jesus. And he did not disappoint those who came there with a gotcha agenda. He came through with a parable about assuming a lowly place at the party so that the host could recognize you and invite you to a more honored place. Friend, come up higher and sit at table with me. As if that were not enough, as if he had not affronted the social conventions enough, he went on to say that when you throw a party, don't invite the A-list who can reciprocate. He said you ought to invite the people that nobody ever invites to a party. The lame, the blind, the forgotten, the people who never can repay you. They were doing surveillance on Jesus because scandal seemed to follow him. He looked for people at parties who had no right, no entitlement to be there. And that was just the wrong thing for him to be doing. In just a few minutes, I'm going to invite in his name. I'm going to repeat an invitation to a dinner party, a feast, a banquet, a heavenly meal. And when the invitation is given here today, I hope that we will all remember that we have no right, no merit, no entitlement to what Jesus gives us. Nevertheless, you and I are about to receive a gold embossed invitation to the marriage feast of the Lamb of God. Who am I that I should be at the table of Jesus? Who am I that I should handle the bread and the cup, the banquet of the Son of God? Who are we that we should partake? What we believe about communion is that it is a foretaste of the great banquet in heaven. And Jesus says that many who are first here will be last in heaven because the values are different, and many who are last will be first. But whether we are first or last, we take our place at the table that we do not merit. It is simply and purely grace. Many times I have, at the conclusion of a memorial, a funeral service, have read the prayers and read the scriptures, and sometimes the person deceased was a good church person, sometimes not, but in every case, at the conclusion of that service, I will pray that our God receive into the arms of mercy a sinner of Jesus' own forgiving, no matter who we are. And that's the heart of our theology. Despite all of our virtues and all of our achievements, we are received by God because and only because we have been claimed by Jesus Christ, by Him crucified, by Him raised to life everlasting. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are welcome in the kingdom of God now and forever because and only because the Almighty One has claimed us in Jesus Christ, because the Holy One invites us from our lowly place and says to us, friend, come up higher, be my guest. Sit at table with me. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock, says the Lord. If you hear my voice and open to me, I will come in and sit at table with you. You and I are welcome not because we are righteous, but because we are forgiven. You and I don't have our own claim on the banquet. It belongs to Jesus Christ, and He is the one who welcomes us. In a few minutes, we'll hear that invitation from Jesus Himself, calling us to come from wherever we are, to come up to that higher place, to be with Him where He is. The table of Jesus is a new etiquette for the world. Jesus says, seek the lowly place, humble yourselves and you will be exalted, but try and exalt yourself and you will find yourself humbled. In the new etiquette, Jesus says to seek the place at the bottom and wait to be called up to the higher place. Our approach to the table in humility. If we seek the higher place, Jesus says we have our reward in this world. If we seek the lowly station in the world, we will be called to a higher place. There are a lot of things that we can do for God in the world, and some of them gain us recognition, some do not. A Christian leader who inspired me when I was young, person named Ivan Illich, he spent his entire ministry among the poorest of the poor in the world, and when he wasn't either comforting the afflicted or feeding the hungry, he would be out in the mountains with a stack of books and a Bible and saying his prayers and studying. And his teachings always emphasized doing what he called the shadow work of the gospel. The serving of God where nobody ever gets any awards or accolades or recognition. Nobody ever gets paid to do it. It's hidden, it's shadow. A poet named Ruth Harms Pawkin wrote this: you know, Lord, how I serve you with emotional fervor in the limelight. You know how eagerly I speak for you at the women's club. You know how I effervesce when I promote a fellowship group. You know my genuine enthusiasm at a Bible study, but how would I react, I wonder, if you pointed to a basin of water and asked me to wash the calloused feet? of event and wrinkled old woman day after day, month after month, in a room where nobody saw, nobody knew. It's the shadow work of the gospel. And I would have us assume a low place as we prepare for communion, and to remember that before God, we are all the callous and the bent. We are all of us the poor, the lame, the blind. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Before God, we are all that. And Jesus didn't hesitate to come down to wash our feet. The only begotten Son of God has washed us, has clothed us in a robe, has invited us to the place of honor and glory. You and I are talking about a miracle. We are talking about the miracle of subverting what is the common paradigm of the world. We are talking about the miracle that the Almighty One would seek to renew and restore the world by making disciples of the likes of you and me. The miracle is that the Son of God can take those who don't deserve to be at the party and make us in his mission in the world. Martin Luther said God is able to carve beautiful things from rotten wood. God is able to ride the lame horse. By God's power, you and I, undeserving though we are made into the kingdom of God and fed at God's table. And we become, for God, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, because he invites us to come up higher. There is a new etiquette, the etiquette of heaven, and it comes to us at the Lord's table, where we are invited to the place of honor to receive not what we deserve, but to receive what our Savior Jesus so graciously offers to us.